Good morning. How are you?
As we mentioned at the beginning of the show last week, we're from the beginning a series of three different Isurim, which are related somewhat to Kirtan and Shabbos. The three Isurim are related to each other, but each one has a little bit of a different nuance. The first of the series is Shehiyah, second is Achzara, and the third is... the first is Shehiyah, the second is Achzara, and the third is Hatmana. Shehiyah, as we really spoke about the vocal time last week, is the potential issur of leaving food on the fire on Friday afternoon, that the food continues to cook, or continues to remain warm into Shabbos. This was prohibited for the Gemara says in the first miracle, we said, Shabbos, Shem Yechaseh V'Gicholim, that although in that Torah, you're allowed to set up a system on Friday afternoon that the Malacha should continue into Shabbos, but in the Rabbanon, in this case, the Chavim will say, lest the person comes to adjust the flame, the old days to stir the coal, today to switch the knob, that would be a problem in the Rabbanon Shem Yechad B'Gichol. We spoke at length last week about the details, when that is applies, when that is doesn't apply, how to circumvent that is, what the role of the blech is. So the second of these surahs that we're going to focus on really today, we'll probably take this into next week's year also, that's the Surah Hachzara. So Hachzara was prohibited by the Chachamim to put food back on the fire on Shabbos. So Shehiyah means to leave food on the fire from before Shabbos. So Hachzara means to do a ma'isa, to do an active, take an active role and actually take a pot of food and put it back on the fire on Shabbos. So that was prohibited because of Hachzara. Now before we even begin to discuss the details of Hachzara, when Hachzara is permissible, when it is prohibited, so we have to stop for a moment and ask ourselves, wait a second, we've been spending the last 3 months dealing with the dinim of Bishul. Bishul, of course, is an issur d'oraisa. This is Pasha, it's a tofu eifuv, it's a trashu b'sheilu, so Bishul, of course, is prohibited in a Torah on Shabbos. So why isn't every act of Hachzara, by definition, an act of Bishul? I'm taking food, putting it on the fire, it sounds like Bishul to me. The answer is obvious. This is based on also a cloud that we spent a lot of time talking about, called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That the Mishnah tells us, the end of Masech HaShabbos, that once food was already cooked, so that it's no longer subject to the Yisud Yerayis of Bishul. So obviously, whenever we speak about the prohibition of the Rabbanon of Achzara, we are assuming that the Yisud Yerayis has already been solved. And the Yisud Yerayis has, of course, been solved through the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. If for whatever reason, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul will not be applicable, if for some reason we have a deraisa, like a problem on hand, so then everything we're going to say, it's like a taras nadar, everything is basla mavuto. There's any kulmas, any atar, any kunsim that we're going to come up with to, in a sense, circumvent the Yisra Rabbanon of Achzara, if we can even come up with such a thing. But even if we can find a way somehow to do Achzara beheter, that is presupposing that there's no deraisa problem. That means Bishul has for sure been solved. So it's very important. Whenever we speak about Achzara, sometimes we get so, you know, bogged down, rightfully so, with the Dirim Rabbanon of Achzara, is this included in the Gzeres? Is not included in the Gzeres? Sometimes we forget the more important question. The more important question is, well, did you solve the Bishul deraisa problem? So that's the first and foremost rule. Bishul deraisa, you have to have a green line on Bishul. If you have a green line on Bishul, then you have to discuss, what about the Yisra of Achzara? That's why before we even see the preconditions that the Chachamim tell us about Achzara, there is at least one condition, or perhaps even two conditions that the Rishonim discuss, which before you can discuss this and the Rabbanon, you have to just make sure you're clear on a level there, right? So the first condition, we can call it in a sense a condition for Achzara, but it's really a misnomer, it's really a condition for Bishul. But Lamaisa, before you put food on the fire, you have to make sure the following condition is met. The food has to be Mehushal called Tzorcho. Now, Mizmasha called Tzorcho is really not agreed upon by everybody. Remember, we spoke really at great length about the Machlokas, the Rambam and the Rashba. At what point do we invoke the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? According to the Rashba, once the food is a third cooked or half cooked, once it's what's called Meichel Ben Jusoy, which we defined as being Nechal Ayideh Hatchak, it's basically edible. The kosher is edible. It's a rare steak, so you would eat it if you were in a rush, if you were stuck. People would eat it. It's not absolutely raw. So the Rashba says, once it's reached the shear of Meichel Ben Jusoy, then there's no more Bishul problem there, right? So according to the Rashba, you could theoretically put food on the fire on Shabbos if somebody can get around the Derabbanan to a problem, even though it's not fully cooked. Because according to the Rashba, as long as you meet the first criteria of Meichel Ben Jusoy, so then you've solved the Bishul deraisa problem. Of course, we don't paskin really like the Rashba. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, that the food has to reach the point of this basha called tzorcha. It has to be fully 100% cooked, that a normal person would eat it under normal circumstances, in order to be clear of visual deraisa problems. So we're not really sure how to paskin. The halacha quotes that, after all, it is a machlekes that we showed them. It's hard for us to be machriya, it's a shalav a deraisa. So the halacha says we really should be machmir and insist on never ever putting food onto the fire on Shabbos unless we've cleared the Rambam's criteria for what constitutes a visual lach a visual. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, everything we're going to talk about is presupposing the food is cooked, but not just that it's cooked, it's fully cooked, fully 100% fully cooked, in order to be clear of the Rambam's deraisatic problem of, in a sense, yesh bishul achar bishul, because going to Rambam, it's not really this basha for these purposes, until it's this basha kol tzarcha. I remember once I was at somebody's house, and a couple was a young married couple, and the wife had served schnitzel on Friday night. Then it came time to serve the schnitzel on Shabbos morning. So the question is, how can we heat up the schnitzel? So we're going to talk about hopefully in this week's year, all the kunsim on top of the cholim pot, on top of the hot plate, and the crack pots, all kinds of different kunsim, how to potentially circumvent the issue of achzara. So the husband very sheepishly said, your cooking is wonderful and marvelous, still Shana Rishona, but I'm not sure if the schnitzel was really cooked last night fully. So I don't know what the Shalom Bayis angle was involved in that, but when in fact what he was saying was that according to the Rambam, we have a much more serious problem, we have a direct thinking problem. So then they were arguing, she said, no, what do you mean? Of course it's cooking. So I became the cousin of Shlishi, go figure. That's the on the one hand, you want to insult the Baal Samayas, on the other hand, Shalom Bayis. So I said, I don't really eat schnitzel, I don't like it, I don't know what schnitzel tastes like.
But if you don't master, then the Rambam will affect you.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Right. Well, that will depend on last week whether you need Guf Faktu, whether you need a Blech for that. That's the problem here. But here we're talking about Shabbos morning. She wants to take it out of the fridge and put it back in some kind of a convoluted way to circumvent Havzara. So can you even get started? So that's going to depend on the Rambam and the Rashba. There is another condition that we'll get to the ramifications of this condition a little bit later. It's the Ramah quotes from a Beis Yosef a little bit later on in the Maamar Kamos. The Ramah says there's another thing you have to always be careful about. Before you ever do Hachzara, the food has to be warm. The food can't be cold. If it's Nesane, then the food is cooled down, so then that's always a problem. And then Hachzara is a non-starter. You can't tell me stories, you're going to get around Hachzara, you're going to hold the Biyah, the Zayt Lahach, the Hidden Hero, quite a different kunsim, says the Ramah, if the food's cold, so forget about it. What's unclear from the Ramah is what is the significance of that condition, that if the food is cold, therefore you have a problem. So this seems to have been Machlekes, the Gedolei HaPoskim, what is the nature of this precondition that the Ramah is stipulating, that Hachzara is also if the food's cold? So the Vilna Gaon seems to understand that this condition of the Ramah is related to the previous condition, and it's nothing to do with Hachzara. This is a bishul problem. Why? Because we already know that according to many, we showed him, and the Ramah in a sense really included, that sometimes yesh bishul achar bishul, primarily with a double lach, is when you have a soup, when you have a gravy, so the rules of ein bishul achar bishul are not as clear. The Ramah was machri, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, that when you have a liquid, when you have a soup, when you have a gravy, so if it's still hot, if it's still warm, so then ein bishul achar bishul. But once it's cooled down already, so then it's subject to yesh bishul achar bishul, we already mentioned, because when you have a cold piece of chicken, a cold piece of chicken is still a piece of chicken. A cold bowl of soup, that's not really something we would want to have. So Dr. Belzer will appreciate this. I have a messiah from the Shiva, from Goldwich, the Zatzal, the Shiva came to Yavna. I was eating at his house one time, and he was in the middle of talking to somebody, and the Rebbetzin served ice cream. So the Rashiva said, nobody should wait for him, because he has a Masura that you don't wait for ice cream and you don't wait for hot soup. That was his lesson. Okay, then Zacha. So that's this idea, also. That's what Yisrael Shana was saying, that hot soup is soup, cold soup is terrible, it's not edible, b'chalal. So when it comes to soup, when it comes to liquid, when it comes to gravy, so yesh bishalach ha-bishal b'davalach, at least if it's tzitzane. So it comes to grow and says, that's what the Ramah meant, that whenever we want to discuss Hachzara, so you have to get around the bishul problem. So how do you get around the bishul problem? If the food is cooled down, so then yesh bishul achar bishul. If that's the pshat in the Ramah, then obviously the Ramah is only talking about liquid. The Ramah never meant to say that solid, there's an absolute precondition that has to still be warm in order to be matir achzara. So the Gra is a tremendous kula, because the Gra taking that Ramah, who said, if it's cold, it's also saying, no, that's so fast. What the Ramah meant is if it's cold soup, the Ramah meant if it's cold gravy, the Ramah meant if it's cold water. But if it's cold potato, if it's cold salad, it's a chicken, so that was never included in the Ramah's condition. The Magen Avraham disagrees with this phone. The Magen Avraham says no, that hachzara, by definition, is usur if it's cold. Once it's cold, that's over. That's the end of the story. Now we'll have to see why that's true. Where did the Ramah get that from? Is that the correct pshat? But according to the Magen Avraham, the tenai of the Ramah is a hachzara tenai. It's not a bishul tenai. It comes out the Magen Avraham is a tremendous chumrah. Because according to the Magen Avraham, there's no difference anymore between solids and liquids. That's what Maisa says the Magen Avraham. Once the food is cooled down, so then all bets are off. Then there's no way for you to do achzara on it because of a achzara problem, not because of a mishal problem. So if you think about it conceptually, who's the machmer, who's the mekel, so it comes out a little bit strange. The Gra is the machmer in the sense because the Gra is telling you we have a deraisa, they have a problem on our hands. According to the Gra, that quote unquote achzara with the food that's still named is also the deraisa. But it's only also in a very limited circumstance. It's only also with the liquids. According to the Magen Avraham, he's the biggest makil. The Magen Avraham says that it's only the Rabbanim take a problem. Bishul, man, don't worry about Bishul. It's only the Rabbanim take a problem, but that the Rabbanim take a problem becomes an all-encompassing problem. Same belach, then the other. So it's a strange thing that it's hard to say who's the machmer, who's the makil.
That's so cold, people could be frozen.
That would be a problem. That would for sure be a problem. Yeah. Now, would it be a problem of bishul achavishul? I'm not sure about that. Even if it's a solid food, even frozen pashas, there's no bishul achavishul. So yeah, so up until now, we've really been giving an introduction. We really didn't, when we introduced by saying that hachzara is only in the Siddur Rabban. It's part of the three Siddur Rabban that we're focusing on now. It's only in the Siddur Rabban. But before you can discuss whether hachzara is also a mutter, so you have to first make sure that you've cleared the deraisa problem. So for sure you have to clear the deraisa problem, making sure it's not mevushal. But chayav is the Rambam and the Rashba, how mevushal does it have to be? And the second potential deraisa problem you have to clear, so if it's a liquid which is cold, so then you have a deraisa problem on your hand as well. But once you clear those two problems, so now we really begin to start the sugya. This is really all about Hakadama. Now we're ready to begin the sugya of Hachzara per se. This is the Rabbanan called Hachzara. So the truth is that the Issur Derabbanan called Achzara is a little bit of a misnomer. Because if you look at the Mishnah and you look at the Gemara, so it sounds like there's no Issur Derabbanan of Achzara, there's a Heter Derabbanan of Achzara. It means it's mutter to be machzir. What do I mean by that? So if you take a look at the first Derei Mekavos, and Daf Mamekasa Ben Aleph, Beis Hillel Omer Af Machzirin, there was a Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, about what you're permitted to do on Shabbos in terms of either leaving food on the fire before Shabbos and returning food onto the fire on Shabbos. So Beis Hillel makes a statement, af machzirin, that it's permissible to be machzir. Not only is it permissible under certain circumstances to leave the food on the fire from before Shabbos, not only is that okay, but Beis Hillel comes against Beis Shammai and says, af machzirin, even the hachzir is mutter, and Beis Shammai says, no, ein machzirin. So Amar Rav Sheishas, le divrei omer machzirin, afilu b'Shabbos. When Beis Hillel says machzirin, that it's mutter to put food on the fire, that means mamish on Shabbos per se. Don't think that it means Friday afternoon, don't think it means right before. Lech ben, mamish Shabbos, morning, mutter l'chachzir. That's what Beis Hillel says. The af Rabbi Yoshia saw the af machzirin afilu b'Shabbos. The Amar Rabbi Yoshia, pamachazinu omdim le'elim Rabbi Chia Ramba. We were once standing in front of Rabbi Chia. Ve'alanu lo kumkumu shalchamim b'dita tachtonu l'dita ha'oyona. That we poured him a cup of hot water, we took the hot water from one room to another room, we poured him the water, and then we took the tea kettle and put it back on the fire, for lo omar lanu davar. And he didn't say there was any problem. What we did was hachazara. So everyone's gonna stop for a moment and think, for the last 20 minutes I've been trying to sell you the story, because it's a hachazara. But here, if anything, the Gemara says, forget. Here the Mishnah says, Beis Hillel af machzirin. The Rav Oshia says, af machzirin afilu b'Shabbos. Rav Chiya says, af machzirin afilu b'Shabbos. We're not saying machzirin afilu b'Shabbos. There's no Issur Achzara. So what are we talking about? What do you mean there's an Issur Achzara? Well, so the answer is that if you look at the context of the Mishnah says, when did Beis Hillel say af machzirin? That means, if it's grufa uktuma, this is a throwback to last week, If the fire is covered, if either the coals are, have been removed or the fire is covered, so then they still will say, af machzirin. The implication being that if it's not grufa uktuma, so ein machzirin. So it's strange, the whole issue of hachzara is never formulated in the Mishnah saying, Omar Rabbi Yossi also lahachzir. That's not what it says. What it says is they fill a woman mavzir, that it's mutal lahachzir, provided that it's a kira, she's a group of clashing mother, the whole line of the Mishnah Kira we spoke about last week, provided that it's grufa ktuma. If that condition of grufa ktuma is met, that the coals have either been removed or the coals have been covered, so then they fill a woman af machzirin.
But most of
Mavzir
implies that it actually came from...
Oh, we're going to get to that. That's a multi-million-dollar question about, is that really ma'akev, that phrase? So, we have identified the Isra of Achzara. It's written somewhat of a roundabout way in the Mishnah, but it's clear from the Mishnah and the Gemara that there is some kind of an Isra of Achzara. Not only do we know from the Mishnah and the Gemara there's an Isra of Achzara, we've just identified the first condition that's necessary to be matter Achzara, the condition of Grufa Ktuma. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah says, if it's Grufa Ktuma, then they still have a machzirin. The implication being, if it's not Grufa Ktuma, then they machzirin. So we've identified the Isra of Achzara in the Mishnah and the Gemara, and we've also identified condition number one of Grufa Ktuma. We don't know a lot of things. We're not sure why there's this Achzara in the first place, and we're not sure why Grufa Ktuma helps. So now let's continue on the Gemara a little bit. Amar Rabbi Zreika, back to this, the first Maramachal. Amar Rabbi Zreika, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Tadoi, Lo Shanu Ela Sha'odan Diyado, Abahi Nicha Nagabe Karaka Asur. Comes Rabbi Tadoi and tells us another condition for Hachzara to be Mutter. That which makes Hillel say, Af Machzirin, that means if the pot of food is still in your hand, you haven't put it down anywhere. But if you put it down on the ground, so that all bets are off, that's considered to be an Isra of Achzara. So what's Rabbi Tadoi telling us? In a sense, he's really telling us the next condition. He's saying that, yeah, Achzara is mutter, no problem. Mishnah says, Achzara is mutter, provided you haven't put it down yet. So not only is the condition that the Mishnah requires necessary, that it has to be Grufa Ktuma, but it's also necessary for it to be Oda Diyado. Then the Gemara says that if you skip down a little bit to Amar Chizki B'Shmedi Abayi, the first one in the line is Mutter, so the Gemara throws in another condition. Amar Chizki B'Shmedi Abayi, had the Amar's Oda Diyado Mutter, that which Rabbi Tadoi just told us, that if it's Oda Diyado, so it's okay, don't jump to any conclusions. Amar El Shaddai Tala Hachzir, that's only true if the person also had intention when he took it off the fire in the first place to put it back on the fire. But he never had that in mind. He took it off planning on serving the children, to never putting it back. And then he changed his mind and said, you know what, we're going to need children to lay her off, so I'm going to put it back on the fire. That's a problem. Even though it's Grufa Ktuma, even though it's Oda Diyado, if it's not Beit L'Hachzir. So in effect, what we've just identified now are, many people are familiar with the quote-unquote five conditions of Achzara. Anyone who ever read an English book about Baruch Shabbos knows that Achzara is mutter, there are five conditions that are met. That's the Lashon HaPoskim, the modern-day Poskim. Five conditions have to be met. What are the five conditions? Nispashal Kol Tzorcho, Lo Nistanin Legamre, Grufa Uktuma, Oda B'yado, Taita L'Hachzir. We just found all five of the conditions. This Bashar Kol Tzorcho, we didn't find in Asugi because it's not part of Asugi, it's part of Bishol, that we found a month ago. Nitzan and Legamre, we dug up a Ramah, but according to the Gura, that's also not part of Asugi. That's part of the Bishol Sugi. It's only according to the Magen Avraham that the Chiddush of Nitzan and Legamre, Nitzan and Legamre is Achzara Svar as well. Grufa Ktuma we have identified as a Mishnah, because the statement of Beis Hillel Omav Af Machzirin is a continuation of last week's Mishnah. As last week's Mishnah we already had the idea of Grufa Ktuma. So Beis Hillel will only Ma'atir Hachzara if it's Grufa Ktuma. That's condition number three. Condition number four is Oda Biyadu. That was Rabbi Tadoi's Chiddush. It doesn't appear in the Mishnah. That was Rabbi Tadoi's Chiddush. And then condition number five was Abaye's Chiddush V'das Rabbi Tadoi. That even though the Biyadu is not good enough, it has to be Daitul Hachzir as well. So we have five conditions in order to be Matir Hachzara. Presumably if any of those conditions are missing, we have problems. So we have to really ask ourselves a basic fundamental question. Before we can understand any of these conditions, before we can understand the possible Hetayr of Hachzara, we have really, we succeeded for a half hour in avoiding the question. Why is Achzor also in the first place? What does Chazal have in it for Achzor? What is wrong with taking food on Shabbos morning right out of the refrigerator, dry food, right out of the refrigerator? It hasn't been in your hand, it wasn't Dait Alahach, nothing, not even Rufa Ketuma, zero, and putting it on a fire on Shabbos. What could possibly be wrong with that? With the araisa, as long as it's a spashical sorcho, and if it's a salad, so it's hetta gov, there's no bishul problem. Why did Chazal aser hachzara? Again, it's a strange question because the Mishnah never says Chazal aser hachzara. The Mishnah says they were mater hachzara if it's gufa ketuma, but the implication if it's not gufa ketuma, it's aser. And the Gemara goes on to assume that of course there was an issa de rabbanu of hachzara. Why did Chazal aser hachzara? So, l'chora is a very basic machlokis harishonim as to what was the reason, what was the rationale behind the issa. So one whole approach in some rishonim is really a throwback to what we spoke about last week. Why did Chazal ask the Shahiyah? Why did Chazal tell us that if you put food in the fire on Friday afternoon and it cooks into Shabbos or it keeps warm into Shabbos, that's a problem? Why is that so? After all, we learned last week, the Gemara in the first Bet of Shabbos tells us, we talk to like Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to set up a system Friday afternoon that a malacha is going to be done in the Shabbos. When we spoke, we had the example, Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, according to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to set up a trap Friday afternoon that's going to trap the animal on Shabbos. And according to Beis Hillel, that malacha is going to be set the gomor. So the Gemara asks, according to that, we talk to like Beis Hillel, we set up Shabbos clock, so we talk to like Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to set up a system Friday afternoon that causes the malacha to happen by itself on Shabbos. So in Cain, why can't you put food on the fire in Friday afternoon and have it cook into Shabbos? So the verse says, you're right. In terms of the establishment, there's really no problem. We are afraid lest you come to stir the coals, or the modern day equivalent, lest you come to adjust the flame. So there's a special Issa de Rabbanon of Shem Yechat Begicholim. Nothing to do with Bishul. Shem Yechat Begicholim. One can argue that this Issa of Shem Yechat Begicholim, this is the reason for the Issa of Achzara as well. The same way that Friday after maybe leave food on the fire and it cooks at the Shabbos or it gets warm at the Shabbos, Shem Yechat Begicholim, how much more so if you take cold food out of the fridge, you put it on the fire on Shabbos, but I want to eat a warm piece of chicken, I don't want a cold piece of chicken, so Shem Yechat Begicholim, I may come to stir the coals, I may come to enhance the time, to make it cook quicker, to make it warm up quicker, even though it's fully cooked. So one could take the approach that everything that we're talking about now, the whole Israel Zara, Hakol Mikol Kol, is really just a corollary of the Issa Shehiyah. Just as Shehiyah was the Gezer of the Rabban of Shem Yechad Begicholim, so to Achzor of Shem Yechad Begicholim, no more, no less. Now, if that's true, that Shem Yechad Begicholim is a source for Achzor, we have to really go back to what we spoke about last week. Well, does everybody accept this Gezerah? Shem Yechad Begicholim? So we mentioned that there was a machlokas between Chananya and the Rabbanon, a machlokas at Tanoi, machlokas Rishonim, Rahalokha. When do we make the Gezerah Shem Yechad Begicholim and when not? According to the opinion of Chananya, once the food is cooked, Michael Ben Jusoy, on Erev Shabbos, so then it's mutal chetchila to leave it on the fire on Shabbos and to cook into Shabbos, that's not a problem. Chananya wasn't concerned with Shem Yechat Begicholim, because he felt that once the food is basically edible, so it's unlikely the person is going to really jump the gun and try to stir it to cook it a little bit faster. So according to Chananya, the Gezerah the Rabban of Shem Yechat Begicholim falls by the wayside at the point of Michael Ben Jusoy. The Chachamim disagreed. The Chachamim said, no, Shem Yechat Begicholim is in full force, even if it's Mishmashal Kol Tzorcho, until it's what's called Mitzamet Viralo, until the food is going to heat up so much that it's going to be detrimental to the food to keep on stirring the coals. Mitzamet Viralo, the food's going to spoil, the food's going to dry up, it's going to shrivel up. So at that point, the Chacham agreed to Chananya, the Gezerah falls off. So we had a very technical machlokes. Chananya and the Rabbanon last week, technical machlokes. Machlokes Tosafot in the Rambam, machlokes Tosafot in the Shulchan, machlokes Rama on the Mishnah with the Chazanish, and it's somewhat unresolved machlokes for the last over 2,000 years. At what point do you say, you know, the buck stops here, there's nothing to worry about anymore. Forget about Shem Yechad Begicholim. You don't have to be concerned with it anymore. The person's not going to be mechata. So true, there may have been such a machlokes, Chananya and the Rabbanon, but when it comes to Hachzara, there's no such machlokes. The Gemara is explicit about this, that even Chananya, who was the biggest nakil on Shehiyah, agreed to the Yisur of Achzara. So even if we want to take the approach that Hachzara is based purely on Shenichat Bichol, there's nothing else going on here in Hukas Hachzara except for Shenichat Bicholim, still the rules as to when the Gezer applies is not the same. Even the Mekilim by last week's Shenichat Bicholim of Shehiyah will be known that will agree that the Issa the Rabban of Shenichat Bicholim of Hachzara is a problem. Why the distinction? Well, one obvious distinction is when you're doing it in Friday, when you're doing it in Shabbos. When you're doing it in Shabbos, it's clearly going to be more chomer. So one possible approach of the Rishonim is to say, Hachzara is prohibited, Shemichat Bicholim. No more, no less. You have to work out the fine details. You have to maneuver a little bit. Shemichat Bicholim, but we know from last week's Shia, that's not always true. There's not always a Gzera. But the answer is, we're a little bit more machmer on the details of Hachzara. But at the end of the day, it's basically just a cousin of Shehiyah, it's Shemichat Bichol. That's one approach in the Rishonim.
You say that even according to Hananya, by Hachzara, he would say that
Shemichat
applies even after
Hachzara. Right. That's right. According to those Rishonim, we'll learn that the whole reason for the Gzera of Shemichat, the Gemara is explicit like that, because the Gemara says even Hananya would agree by Hachzara. But one could throw a whole different approach out, that maybe In our minds, we've connected Shehiyah and Hachzara a little bit too much. Shehiyah is clearly prohibited only because of Shemichat Bichol. There's no bishul issur because you're doing it on Friday afternoon. Maybe one could argue that the issur of Hachzara is more bishul oriented rather than Shemichat Bichol. It's like a gezeira b'shul bishul, or it's like a mechtek imavashul, or it's a nirik imavashul. Person sees, you go to the fridge, you take out a pot, ice cold food, put it on the fire on Shabbos. Not everybody realizes that the food was cooked from before Shabbos. So it looks like bishul a little bit. Now true, we all know midaraisa ain't bishul acha bishul, it's bashikol tzarech, there's nothing to worry about. So at a level of deraisa, this is not bishul. But to the person who doesn't understand all the nuances of what's going on, it's near kimavashul, it's mechtik kimavashul a little bit. So it could be that the iser of the rabbanon of Hachzara is not part of Shemichat B'Gicholim. It's totally different than Shemichat B'Gicholim. Maybe it's also for an entirely different reason of Mechtikim of Ashil. It's like a quasi-Marathai. I don't know if I want to call it officially Marathai. It's smacks of Bishul. Either it's going to lead you to do Bishul, it's going to lead somebody else to do Bishul. Unclear what exactly, which type of Gzeira this falls under. But there we show them, we use this phrase, Rashi, on the Mishnah, on Daf Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, throws out this phrase, Mechtikim of Ashil, Nirikim of Ashil. Now the evidence is that this idea of an Issa D'Rabban of Nirikim of Ashil is not foreign to us. We spoke about this earlier. We spoke about Klisheni. Remember, way, way back, we mentioned that there's a Tosfos in Shabbos that says that, yeah, Bishul and Klisheni, of course it's Mutam in the Reis, but it's also in the Rabbanan, because it's Nirikim of Ashil. Not everybody realizes there's a Klisheni and a Klisheni. So the idea of Issum D'Rabban of Nechtikim of Ashil is not something which comes, there's too much of a shock to us. So there are a group of Rishon, Rashi, others, who say that's the issur of Hachzara. That's the reason why Hachzara is also. The Maila, the advantage of explaining the nature of the issur, the Tama issur of Hachzara, as related to Mechtikim of Ashil, rather than Shemichat B'Gicholim, of course solves the Hananya issue. As the Gemara says explicitly at the beginning of the third part of Shabbos, that even though Hananya was Master Shehiya, but he asked Hachzara, so we had to do some very, very tightrope walking. Well, why is that? The Yisra Shemichat B'Gicholim, so why does Hananya more Ma'achal Ezra than Shehiyah? So we had to explain, well, Alpha Pichain, the criteria a little bit different, because one Shabbos, one Erev Shabbos. If you open up a whole new light on Ezra, tell me that Ezra has nothing to do with Shemichat B'Gicholim. Ezra is the Nisra the Rabbanah of Mechtikim of Ashel. So then, then the Gemara makes perfect sense. Hananya didn't buy into Shemichat B'Gicholim after Ma'achal Ben Yisrael, but Mechtikim of Ashil is a different story. There is no Israel of Mechtikim of Ashil on Friday because it's Friday. You're allowed to be with Ashil Mamash on Friday, so for sure there's no Israel of Mechtikim of Ashil. So this statement of the Gemara at the beginning of Perakira, that even Hananya, who's the biggest Makel on Shehiyah, is Mach Ben Azara, either this leads us to believe that although both of them are Shemichat B'Gicholim, the criteria are a little bit different, the rules are a little bit different, or that line of the Gemara leads us to believe that the Isurim are fundamentally different. The Shehiyah is L'chud, Achzor, L'chud, and the two really have nothing to do with each other. So that's somewhat of an open question. In order to analyze this question, is Achzor Osir Mishum, in a sense, Bishul, or is Achzor Osir Mishum, 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 So l'chora, we have to check some of the details that we already know. We haven't learned all of Achzara yet, but we read it, have an inkling as to some of the conditions to be matter of Zara. So you have to stop and ask ourselves, well, what's the nature of the Yisr? Whatever the nature of the Yisr is, then we'll be able to understand what the nature of that term is. Interesting, this question, whether Achzara is fundamentally a visual issue, whether Achzara is fundamentally a Shem Yichad B'Gecholim issue, so... Those who heard my shiurim last year in yeshiva and hear the shiurim now, so it's machlokes last year and this year. I'll tell you why. Last year we talked about the iser of hachzara, so when we got to the malach of hachzara, last year we went mamish kaseid of malach like we're doing now. So we got to hachzara, but by June, the 37th malach or something. So that's when we spoke about all the iser of hachzara, because it's shem yichat v'gecholim. Shem yichat v'gecholim means we're afraid you're going to stir the coals, which means you're afraid you're going to light a fire. So that's the Havara for you. This year we're jumping the gun. This year we're talking about Hazara. We just finished talking about Vishal. So here we're clearly treating it as a Vishal issue. So that's Shalu. Where you should talk about Hazara is it belong to the Malach of Havara, belong to the Malach of Vishal. That's this Chashira. The emissary reason why we did it this way, we did it last year the other way, was we had spent about 6 weeks talking about Vishal. Vishal was coming out from the guy, from they got to get out of this Malach already. They got to put the coat there. So once here, you know, here we're once Friday morning, every 45 minutes, okay, that's once a week. Yes. 5 days a week, you talk about Vishal, again, we had to switch a little bit, but the Ikaron, so there's really a lumpus behind it, that it's really appropriate, you can really talk about Achzor in either place, it's appropriate to talk about Achzor, either in Shem Yichat B'Gecholim or in Vishal. But how do the conditions work out? So we know the five conditions. Well, the first condition, the condition of Nisvashak Kol Tzarchal, we don't have to talk about that, because that's only to do with Achzorah. That's just by name we call it Achzorah condition, but that's really a Vishal condition. They start in the Gamrei, let's go for Sagra for a minute, but that's also not a Achzara condition per se. The only three conditions that we know from the Mishnah and the Gemara are Grufa Ketuma, Ode the Biyado, and Daita L'Hachzer. So let's ask ourselves, which one of the two Isurim for Achzara would lead us to believe that these three conditions make any sense? Grufa Ketuma, why do you need Grufa Ketuma for? What do you have to cover the fire for? What do you have to get rid of the coal for? We know Grufa Ketuma from last week. Grufa Ketuma is a way to ensure that you're not, because you're Mechatz B'Gecholim. If there are no coals, if the coals are covered, as the Hekel, we mentioned in the Ra'al last week, the mice, we have a block there, that's going to prevent you from doing Shem Yichat B'Gecholim. So the condition of Grufa Ketuma fits in beautifully with the Shem Yichat B'Gecholim theory, that the whole Isra of Achzara was primarily Shem Yichat B'Gecholim. So how do you get around Shem Yichat B'Gecholim? By doing Grufa Ketuma. If you hold that the primary Isser of Achzara was Bishal-oriented, so you're saying something a little bit strange now. You say, well, Grufa Ketuba could solve Bishal. Why? Because it doesn't really look like Bishal. This is like a bizarre way of cooking. Who cooks on top of a blech? So maybe Grufa Ketuba, who cooks when there are no coals? Who cooks when the coals are covered with ashes? So it could be that Grufa Ketuba may also solve the Mechnik of Vashal problem. So the condition of Grufa Ketuba, so that in of itself is not a dead giveaway. Although it seems to indicate that we're more Shem Yichat B'Gecholim oriented, there's reason to believe, but that's not really true, there's reason to believe that maybe Grufa Ketuba could also be understood in the Bishal context. Let's move on to the next two conditions, which really are a pair of conditions. Ode B'Yodah V'Dait L'Hachzer. Rabbi Chadoi, Chizki, Abaye, who insist that it's not enough Grufa Ketuba, you have to have the pot in your hand, you can't put it down, you have to have fast. Why is that necessary? So here, it may be a little bit easier to understand from the Bishal angle. If you hold the whole Isser is Mechzikim of Ashel, so that makes sense when a guy takes a pot of food, puts it down on the floor, comes back 10 hours later, puts it back. For someone who's watching, to putting it back on the fire, that looks like Bishal. But if I see, I'm taking the tea kettle off the fire, I'm putting it down a second later, and I'm saying, Hinani Michim Zulun, and I'm going to put it back on the fire, so everybody realizes that's not Bishal, that's Achzara. You're just putting back food that was already there. So Ode B'Yodah Daita V'Hachzer, that creates the mindset that's not really Bishal. That seems to size up what you're doing as more of a returning food rather than a cooking something from scratch. Ode B'Yodah Daita V'Hachzer, that seems to fit in very nice into Bishal. How does that solve the Shem Yichat B'Gecholim problem? It's probably for the same type of an idea. That if the halacha requires of you to hold on to it, and the halacha requires of you to have in mind, So the food's not getting a chance to cool off, you're not being Messiah Fah from the food. So I'm just putting it right back where it was before. It's not so much from Sia Shem Yichad B'Yicholim. If I take the food, I put it down. So I put it down, it's off the fire for a while. Now when I come back, hey, it's got cooled off a little bit, I gotta reheat it a little bit. So there's more of a Sia Shem Yichad B'Yicholim. So basically what we've accomplished is all the conditions of Achzara that we know of, Kufaksuma, or the other, that last, everything that we know can be understood either in light of Shem Yichad B'Yicholim or in light of Bishul. So hopefully next week we have to really come to some conclusion on this issue. What is the Isser, and is there any Nafkamim or Zina? Why is it so important to know whether the Isser is Shem Yichad B'Yicholim or the Isser is Nafkamim or Rashi?